That was Garrett Crochet last night, the voice of a pitcher who knew he should and could stay in the game. He knew his pitch count. He knew how he felt. He knew the situation that the bullpen was in. He knew the situation in the game. And yet, that lying manager, Alex Cora, who told us he was going to go 6 or 7 innings because the bullpen needed help,
All right.
Came out and pulled him.
Misled. You know, 6 innings, I mean, you know, look.
Wait, misled?
He wasn't going to tell you. He really had an idea of how many pitches he wanted from Crochet. He wasn't. He said 6 innings. He was hoping that he could get 85 pitches through 6 innings.
Get
that
him,
was
Teddy.
Not the case.
Get him, Teddy.
That was the case. So
Crochet wanted to pitch 115, and Cora had 85 apparently circled. Honestly.
But why not go out if you just heard from him, say, like, I knew how my body was feeling. I was ready to attack the next hitter. No leeway? You don't get to buy 2 more batters, Ted?
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's – look, I question that call, and I also question, though, putting Liam Hendricks back out for the 7th or the 6th, yeah. The 6th inning. You got his 2 outs in the 5th. And then you put him out there again in the 6th, and that's
after
where
he had a feel good performance,
which he's only pitched 2 innings once this year, and so I don't know.
Maybe was that a Patriots like? Remember last year we got all those instances like the receivers would bitch about not getting the ball, and then it seemed like they would get the ball. It felt like Liam Hendricks is bitching about not pitching, and okay, so we'll get you 2 innings.
This is what you want. Okay, watch.
And it didn't work out very well. Not well.
Real quick before we get into
Rolling.
I was listening to the game last night, and it was. I found this to be very funny. I hope you guys will too. But Will Fleming, it was at the bottom of the 5th inning. Jaren Duran's up at bat, and bases are loaded. I got a kick out of this call. Listen to this call. Jaren Duran, I don't want to say it, but he's at the plate, and this is Will Fleming's call. Listen to this real quick.
Pitch is drilled high and deep in the right field.
Stop. High and deep.
It's gone.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ahead.
It's gone.
It's gone, right? Go ahead.
Home run.
Pitch is drilled high and deep in the right field at the track.
Stop.
At the wall.
No doubt. Home run, right?
No. There's a little doubt. A little doubt started to seep into Will's voice at the end there, but I still think it's gone.
It's got to be gone.
Pitch is drilled high and deep in the right field at the track at the wall. Soto will get there and make the play. The wind knocked it down. Duran destroyed that ball. It's a sack fly, and the game is tied at 1.
So close.
I was like, oh, grand salami for Jaren Duran. It's caught. Shoot.
And Will is a veteran play-by-play guy. You know that happened to your buddy Christian Fourier, right?
I was asking Stace to find the audio.
Game. Fourier was allowed to do play-by-play for the Red Sox.
You're kidding me.
And he had an example of that, although I don't know that it was ever close to even being out of the ballpark.
Oh, is that right? It was
one of the best calls in the history of baseball on the radio.
Best and worst.
What was the
made it the best?
What was the exercise there to see that?
I think
anybody can.
Oh no!
No! They had OMF call. No, they had. They were kind of bandying different shows about, and OMF was doing a broadcast or doing a couple down at JetBlue for spring training, and they got to call a game.
Yeah, but he kind of begged. It was cocky.
Oh, I know. I had to host after the show was over.
Was he like anybody can call a baseball game?
Basically,
that's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Will get there.
They all do it, though. John Sterling for the Yankees had a million
high,
of those.
It is far. It is caught.
And, you know, on a cold
night. The wind
night,
was a factor.
Wind,
right.
Ball's
right.
Not
oh,
traveling.
I'm giving him a break.
You don't like excuses, Ted.
Rip him. No excuses.
You had to chuckle. You had to chuckle. I chuckled from that.
I bet you he
Lord knows
chuckle.
He needs one because yeah. Will is in a mood these days, and he deserves to be.
It's he's got one of these voices that just kind of disarms me. I've told you that. I like Will's voice. It just, okay, I'm at ease. But, you know, and he's kind of an assassin with his criticism. It's subtle, but it's like he's very, very sharp in his criticism, and you call it disappointment. It's criticism in his style, but he's not happy with this team.
And he did that the other night because I listen to him most nights on my drive home, listen to the call. Yeah. And the other night the anthem
man.
Played, and he was like, tremendous anthem, other than the couple missteps. And I was like,
hey, Stanford, easy on the anthem.
Easy.
Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who it was. It wasn't a kid, but it was like, tremendous, other than the couple missteps in the middle. And I was like, oh, that took a critical turn there, Will. But he is so disappointed in this baseball team because, A, he loves baseball. He loves good baseball. And he was all in on this team.
Yeah.
He was among those,
he was.
If you believe they were overrated, Will Fleming was part of the overrating. He was all in on Bregman and the culture and the pitching staff and what it was going to mean to have Crochet and everybody else. And I think right now he's kind of annoyed by what he – and he has to watch it every single night for nine innings.
And if you remember, just the people that covered the Celtics this past year, in the months of January and February, where they'd win two, lose two, win two. It's that middling that drives you insane.
You can read it.
Yes.
Right? It is just being – right. A 500 team is, I think, one of the hardest teams to cover.
Yes.
Is the 500 team.
Mm-hmm. Because – and yes, it is very difficult, especially – talk about it on a nightly basis. Write about it. And it's like there's no trends. There's no, oh, I see this happening because you thought you saw that three times and it never came to fruition. But we need to get to our guy. I know you're trying to avoid the topic, Ted. I know you're willing to bulldog him about first base.
Houston bros.
But yesterday, Alex Cora told us he even agreed with Fitzy when Fitzy joked maybe it'd be a complete game for Garrett Crochet, your ace. The bullpen was
down. His first ever.
Fitzy asked him, are you going to bring anybody up to make some changes in the bullpen? Nope, we're not going to do that. And he said six or seven innings the big guy.
He did.
And then the big guy had 85 pitches. The big guy struck out Juan Soto three times. Juan Soto, $750 million worth of ball player.
Struck him out
three times. And then out comes the manager to a pitcher who didn't know he had any sort of limits. A pitcher who himself post-game said, I had 115 in my mind. I was thinking I would throw 115, that's what they would need for me tonight. Maybe go seven innings, whatever. Can you defend this? Can you explain? Did he get a report from you like to say the nerds, the analytics? Did they tell him? Maybe at 2:45 when he left the studio with you guys, he rode back and he was like, they want to hold Crochet to only 85 pitches tonight. I probably shouldn't have told those guys that he was going to go seven innings.
Whoa, my goodness.
And here comes Alex Cora.
Will Fleming didn't like it. Will Middlebrooks didn't like it.
Everybody was surprised.
Nobody liked it. Crochet didn't like it. Why did it happen?
I think that's a little bit of Alex kind of placating to his star. I mean, I think Crochet's the star of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just kind of... You know what? You just struck out Juan Soto. Boom. It's just with a few pitches. Third time. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to pull you right now, brother. Sit down. We got you. And just to kind of have his back and support him in that way. When it's kind of like, you know what, Alex? You need to win games more than you need to win the affection of your star player. And I think Garrett Crochet is the most prized kind of possession that he has right now. Other than the young guys that are still at AAA. So I think he was trying to appeal to his sensibilities, even though I think part of the Crochet sticking out his hand is a little bit of an act, a little bit of a Chris Sale kind of overselling. That's okay. I like that. So, I want him I want him to be that way. Show that you're disappointed. And I think it was kind of placating to the star more than anything, getting him out at a time where he could feel really good about himself. He just struck out Juan Soto for the third time. I'm going to go get him now. He's going to feel real good, and that's going to be good. And then you saw what happened. I almost question putting Hendricks back out again to start the sixth.
I was just going to ask you that. Why not use the same logic with Hendricks? After he gets the two outs, why doesn't he need to feel good?
It's just Hendricks versus Crochet.
But Hendricks is a guy that hasn't had success this year. You originally penciled Hendricks in as the closer. In spring training. Hendricks knew it. Everybody kind of talked about it.
And part of it might have been because the Hendricks comments about wanting to play more was before the game, was it not?
And then he reiterated them, but yes.
My feeling is that's Cora having his players back. Oh, okay, you know what? He's not happy with the innings that he's been getting. Let's put him back out there again. This is what he wanted. So Alex,
I don't like any of
Alex
this.
Is I don't backing like
that. Is he
players
proving something?
That he feels He's backing his players, and they're letting him down. He's living up to his end of the bargain. They are not living up to their end.
He's a pushover.
It's probably how he feels.
I think he's a pushover then.
He is.
So Devers, to some degree. Oh, Devers, you don't want to play first? Don't worry about it.
Part of being a manager in baseball is having a slight bit of pushover kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. Especially with the veteran players. Especially with the veterans. Christian Campbell, those other guys, Tristan Casas, they get moved around in the order. Yep. They get moved at positions, not the older veteran guys.
So my retort to Liam Hendricks is very simple. You were going to be the closer of this baseball team until you stunk in the spring. So the reason you don't pitch
I'm with you.
Because you weren't good in the spring. If you had done your job in the spring, you would be on the baseball field in a high leverage role. Even if you were, even if you somehow lost the job to Chapman, you'd still be a high leverage regular role guy. You were so bad that you were on the IL and you had to work back and all these things. And since then, Slayton and Chapman and Whitlock
and Weissert
have evolved into their roles. The guys that he trusts, high leverage situations. You went from competing to be the closer to trying to find a role.
Yeah.
Like, you need to figure out who you are and what you're going to contribute to this bullpen.
Yeah.
So pitch better and you'll pitch more.
That's right.
It's not that hard.
And, it's pretty simple. And dude, don't get hurt in spring training.
Right, right.
Like, what, one pitch in spring training? Oh, my ab.
And then you've got to be
the Casas of pitchers.
Yeah, so I don't, and I know he's had a history and he's worked through a lot of things, but I'm just talking about here and now.
Like, bro, really?
It's really
simple.
Does
this team need that comment at this time?
No, and that's the other thing. I keep going back to the Patriots last year where we started to hear these little things. Like, oh, I'm not happy with this, and I'm not happy when you shouldn't. And Devers. Hey, I don't want to play further. You know, we play that Arcan cut all the time of Arcan, you know, bitching about Devers and his sensitivities. And now I have to hear Hendricks bitch about his role. And it's just, how about we just play? Like, you're supposed to be a really talented team, and you're supposed to have a great clubhouse. That's the other thing I've heard. Great clubhouse with a great manager with great communication skills.
Just do what Bregman does. Keep your mouth shut. Buy guys suits. Go out there and ball out every night.
Right.
Like, it's that simple.
And that's where I go back to, I don't want to extrapolate one night from Cora, even though I think it was a big night, coming off two games that Ramon Vasquez won. And he won by being great with his usage of the bullpen.
You don't think Ramon maybe screwed him a little bit?
That's Dan Ball's argument. Yeah. God forbid Ramon Vasquez tried to win games. Maybe if we tried to win games more often, we'd win games more often. It's the damnedest idea.
I know. It's like
the craziest.
It's like
thing.
The season ended when Ramon Vasquez stopped being manager and there wasn't a game on Wednesday.
You know when the season's going to end? 162, because right now they're not good enough to play a 163rd game. And if you don't start treating some of these games in the first half of the season like they matter, it's not going to matter in the second half of the season.
Are we getting, though, clouded by what maybe is the bigger problem?
You
what is
tell
the bigger
me.
Problem?
Do tell.
16 strikeouts?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody can hit the damn ball?
Yeah.
No offense.
The offense
like
is
zero
offensive.
Offense.
Yes. It's Story stinks. Story is just...
How much longer is this going to go before
Marcelo Meyer just goes to short?
Sure.
Like, that's the other thing. We're overthinking this. The shortstop stinks, and you have a great young shortstop.
I think there's enough games, enough sample with Trevor, where if I'm the manager, again, an older veteran player like Trevor, I think is a blind spot for Cora. I do. I think he has a hard time demoting those guys, disappointing those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough evidence now where you see Trevor's been moved up and down the lineup probably four times.
Yes.
I think I've counted four different times he's been moved. I don't know what else Cora can do to convey to Trevor, you know what, bud? This ain't working. We're gonna have to demote you. We're gonna have to bring the young kid up. And you know what? Try and find your swing back in AAA, and then maybe we bring you back up. But
or just put him into the mix at second base.
Yeah,
bring Meyer up at shortstop. Make him the everyday shortstop. And now Trevor Story, you get some days off. You get some days to work on things. You'll be working with Hamilton and whatever the mix is that ends up being
so
over at
so he becomes
second
like
base.
A infield utility guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably a higher percentage
That's
of it. More
awfully
of like a
expensive utility guy.
Well,
you know what else is expensive?
Masataka.
When one of the worst hitters in baseball. Like, he stinks.
Right.
Right now, Trevor Story can't hit.
That's why he's still hitting. That's why he's still out there, because of his salary.
The salary.
Is that okay with everybody? Everybody okay with that?
I mean, this is where...
I wanted him off there weeks ago, Ted.
But this is where baseball is the whole Dan Ball mentality. It's a super long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Like Lou the other day when he was talking about Duran. Well, if you go back to look last year, 56 games in, he had similar numbers, and then he blew up. Or... Mm-hmm. You know, the old Pedroia story. The first month he was terrible. Then what happened? Laser show. Like, there's a lot of baseball people that believe guys have extended stretches, 30, 40, 50 games, and then pull out of it. And that's just the nature of baseball, especially a veteran, especially a guy like Trevor Story, who you feel like he's been a productive big league hitter. He's been an all-star caliber player.
Good teammate, helping. All that.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
But then the flip side of that is, at some point, if you still believe Alex Cora, and he tells us this all the time, right? They're a good baseball team. A good baseball team. And they're going to play important games late in the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not if you don't start winning some of the games
team.
Early
we got a good
in the
team.
Year. You don't have a good team right now. I need to open his eyes for a second. Not a good team. You have like two hitters.
There's nine in a lineup, right? And you got like two that you can count on, basically. And maybe you're starting to muster one or two others, but you basically have been getting by with like two hitters. Your pitching, your bullpen has been great and terrible at various point, little short stints over the last couple weeks.
They're being overfished is why. They're not getting enough consistent quality starts.
I always give myself an A, bro.
Well, but Cora would...
I bet Stiz.
That was well-timed. It good was job, buddy. Good. Even though he said it in jest, no one cares.
I think Cora would agree with Fitzy, though. I think he's disappointed in the starting pitching not going longer.
And ironically, he pulled Garrett Crochet.
Giolito so far has been... stiffish or stiff adjacent. You've gotten great stuff from Hunter. I'm sorry.
Dobbins.
Thing. I was going to say.
The guy who's pitching well, you don't learn his name?
No, my apologies. I mean, he's such a local legend. Yeah. I was overwhelmed by his greatness. But Richard Fitz gets hurt. Walker Buehler's only able to go more than five in every other start, it seems. Crochet, we were looking for seven or eight in domination last night. Now you got the 5 1/3 controversy. There is not... If they get simple six innings or more out of their starters and don't strike out more than 12 times, guess what? They win.
617-779-7937. Let's work in your thoughts on the Alex Cora pulling Crochet. Let's go to David in Massachusetts of the United States. What's up, David?
I'm in Palmer, Massachusetts.
Nice. Cool.
I like to say that Alex Cora sometimes doesn't manage the pitching right. To say Crochet can only go five innings last night, that was total bull. I got to say that. And the bullpen has already been taxed the last two games, so why pull Crochet early?
All right, thanks for the call, David.
It's usually when you do get on the line, maybe just stop whatever it is you're doing and concentrate.
That was Belichick like.
It was just
remember when Bill was trying to start a fire,
typing away.
Bill used to do that with the afternoon show here. He would do the conference
typing away. Yep.
And then he'd be like, "Oh, did you guys ask a question? What was it?"
So David,
that's right.
I don't think David heard the comments from Alex Cora after the game, and to which he said he would have said it to you if he was here. David, I have to consider not just today. I have to consider down the road.
Yeah.
Games down the road that we haven't played. That is the justification for Alex Cora pulling Crochet out of the game when he did was, I got to think about him pitching in August and September and October as well.
But that flies in the face, a little bit of what they've been doing. He's been pitching 90 to 100 plus. He had 110 pitch outing. Now, maybe that's the reason. Maybe they felt like it was starting to get ahead of where they wanted to be at this point in the calendar. Also would be a reason maybe Fitzy, here's a crazy idea. I don't know, some crazy guy.
I already like it.
Maybe bring somebody up, make a little roster move to have a fresh arm in the pen.
Or somebody's.
Just crazy idea. Could have done something.
How about
somebody's? Yeah, I get that there could be a reason. I just don't. Something went wrong. Something smells funny. Something smells funny with the way this went down to me. I don't think Alex Cora is a liar. I don't think he wants to come on our show and just lie to us. I think he will manipulate the truth a little bit, like all coaches do, but I don't think he wants to be the guy that lied at 2:15 and then was proven a liar 4 hours later.
Yep. No big deal.
Right? So the big word of the day is communication.
Yes.
Maybe the nerds didn't tell Alex Cora what their plan was for Crochet, and so you get mixed up. And
yes.
You go on our show and say he's going to pitch 6-7, and the nerds are like, no, he's going to pitch 85 pitches.
Why do the nerds have more say than the guy you pay to handle the ball players?
Oh, that's the world we live in. You ever hear AI
I know.
And everything?
No,
like,
I
nerds
know,
are taking
especially
over the world.
Baseball.
Speaking of nerds, Dan Ball, what do you got?
Thank you. To represent the nerds, it could very well be a Breslow and Bailey tandem plan that's being rolled out on behalf of the pitching staff that Alex Cora is then involved in implementing.
So we have a $7 million manager
Breslow
who's not part of the pitching plan?
You know what?
Not great.
Not great. I agree with you.
He's paid to take all the bullets. We're all going to blame, a lot of us are going to blame Alex for that call.
Yeah.
When my guess is there was a nerd in his head that said, take him on out.
Yeah, but why can't you have a cheaper bullet
remove
taker?
Remove him.
What? Why can't you have a cheaper bullet taker? Like, you cheaper. Paid Alex
you're,
Cora
you're, a good you're worried about the salary
no,
of the manager?
No, but I just don't get it. I don't get the plan. An organization that's been cheap at times in recent years.
Because the manager of the Red Sox is a high-stressful, high-profile job that's worth a lot of money.
Does he know he's just a shield?
He's probably
finding out.
No, he's probably learned that and
a
is okay with
PR
it because
shield. Wow.
He's got $7 million in the bank. So
okay. Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday around 2:15 or 2:30 when we talk to
you're gonna call
Alex
him a liar?
Cora. I am not going to call him a liar, even though he lied to me. I'm going to ask him if
Fitzy's going to call you a liar here.
I will ask him. He's giggling in the background. That's not nice, laughing at us. I will ask him if he feels like he lied to us. Is that a fair question?
I don't think so, but go for it.
You misled us.
I shouldn't. I don't know if I'll have your back on that. I'll be like,
why is that not fair?
I don't think it's, you know.
Or what if I just say,
no, man. Come on.
Okay. What if I say, what changed between 2:15 last Wednesday when you told us you were looking for Crochet to go six or seven and help you out with the bullpen, and then you took him? Is that fair?
That's fair.
That's the wording.
I don't think it's the manager's job to tell us what the game plan is before the game.
And I agree.
And then when he doesn't do the game plan that he told us before the game, to call him a liar.
No, I agree. It's not his job to give us the game plan. But if he gives us something, I think that I would like it to be somewhat truthful.
You thought you were different. You thought you were.
I would just say if I were him, I wouldn't say six or seven. I would say we're looking for Garrett to give us a good.
As long
when
as
you
he
see
can.
Him next Wednesday, just tell him that. Say next time.
I will. Alex. I don't love being lied to. I might work that in there.
All right.
I'm not afraid of him like I would be of Bill. Hey, it might not go well, and maybe he'll be doing the midday show with Jones and Keefe shortly thereafter, but it wouldn't be the first time in the course of this station. It is Thursday. We're coming up on 5:30. That means it is time for the man with the great drops today to take center stage. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for Quiz with Stiz.
Deep left center. This is out of here.
No, it isn't. Short.
This guy down here, he thought it was a home run.
Damn it.